Daddy, come quick. A man is punching holes in the darkness. That's what Christmas is all about. Every candle that's lighted, every light that glimmers, all reminds us that there has been a light that has appeared in the darkness. I've asked tonight that the Ricos would come and assist us as we light the candles. The first candle that we light is a purple candle. It's called hope. Oh, what hope. In the darkest times of Israel's history, in the darkest times of our history, in the darkest times of your personal history, God often shows up with a word of hope. Hope that says, this is not the way it's always going to be. There is something better that is out there. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign according to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah knew about this king who was asked to ask God a sign, and he said he refused. Then Isaiah said, then we will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Romans 15, the root of Jesse will spring up, who will rise and rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. The second candle is the candle of love. Pastor Josh preached that sermon 3 weeks ago, and he reminded you that for God so loved the world, that he gave his only son. And because he loved and gave, you and I are to love and give. And as this candle is glowing before you this evening, may you be reminded that Christmas is not about receiving. Christmas is not about getting. It is about giving. And the greatest gift you can give this holiday season is to share the Christian story with those in your culture. Number three, the only pink candle, it is called joy. What unspeakable joy. What unspeakable joy. The unspeakable joy that shouts out to us, as our director of schools taught us 2 weeks ago. It is when our nature, our difficulty, our problems, the biggest crisis that we have ever faced, those times when we weep through the night, when it doesn't seem that joy is coming in the morning, at that moment, God plugs in our nature with the eternal presence of the Holy Spirit. And I had the privilege of sharing with you last week the candle of peace. The candle of peace, as it glows, reminds us that there is not peace in our world. There will be people who die tonight. There will be people that are killed in automobile accidents tonight. There are war actions going on around the world. But peace declares, as the candle is glowing, that peace is not about a condition or a circumstance. It is about the Prince of Peace who ascended to heaven and has sent the Holy Spirit to us with love, joy, and peace. And then there's been a new candle lighted. It is the Christ candle. How important that candle is. Jesus Christ is the true reason for hope, peace, joy, and love. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. He He was in the world, John said, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, he gave them power to become the children of God, born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us applaud this evening that this candle glows and will glow forever and ever until we are in the presence of the Lord God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
There's no end At this time, we're going to ask all of the children if they would come and join my wife, Jenna, if she'll come up. We're going to have the reading of the Christmas story. Y'all can just come up and sit right here on the carpeted area in front of the couches. All the children.
So who's excited for Christmas? Man, it seems like we've waited so long for this day, right? And it's tomorrow. Can you believe it? It's already here. Are you excited? Yes. Well, I was thinking about how we celebrate Christmas. Sometimes we celebrate with family, right? And sometimes we celebrate with friends. What's another way we celebrate Christmas? Yes, Darby. Perfect. That is exactly what I want to tell y'all about, is celebrating Jesus, because he's the real reason why we celebrate Christmas, right? Yes? Okay, so I'm going to read y'all a little story about the birth of Jesus. So could y'all sit still for a few minutes and listen? Okay, thanks. So this is called The First Christmas, and I bought this book when Luke, right there, the big one, when he was little, and we read it every year at our house, so I wanted to read it to you guys. Long ago, a girl named Mary lived in Nazareth. She believed in God, and she wanted to please God in all she did. She was dreaming of getting married, and already it was planned that she should marry Joseph. But she had never imagined that she would see an angel. Pretty cool, right? Yet, there, right in front of her, was the angel Gabriel, and the angel had a message from God. "Don't be afraid," said Gabriel. "I have good news. God has chosen you to be the mother of a child. You will name him," what was his name? "Jesus." Good job. "But that can't be true," replied Mary. "I'm not even married yet." "God will make this come true," said the angel. "The child will be God's son." In her heart, Mary knew it was right to do what God wanted. Joseph knew for sure that he was doing the right thing. "Darling Mary," he said, "I want us to be married. Our families want us to be married. And in a dream, an angel said to me that God wants us to be married too. So now we will go to my hometown of Bethlehem together. We will put our names on the list of taxpayers together. We will be husband and wife together forever." But when Mary and Joseph arrived, the little town of Bethlehem was very crowded. The inn was full. Do you know what an inn is? What's an inn? Like a hotel, yeah. The only place left for Mary and Joseph was a low-roofed cave where an ox munched on hay and the little donkey stamped and shuffled. "I think my baby is going to be born tonight," said Mary, sounding worried. "We will be safe and warm here," said Joseph. "And look, the manger is just the right size for the cradle." Out on the hillside, the shepherds huddled by the sheepfold. "What a job," grumbled one shepherd, "having to stay out here in the cold and dark with the jackals on the prowl for our tasty sheep." "Still, we can't afford to lose any of our sheep," said the second shepherd, "especially not with all the money we have to pay in taxes these days." "I blame the emperor," said the third shepherd. "If we had a proper king of our own, things would be better." All at once, the sky exploded into brightness. "Good news," called a voice. Who was talking to them? What? Who was talking? An angel. "Good news," called the voice, and an angel stood in front of them. "Tonight in Bethlehem, a child has been born. He is lying in a manger, but truly, he is a king. God has sent him to put everything in the world right All around, 100,000 angels danced through the glittering sky. Glory to God in heaven, they sang, peace on earth. Now, can you imagine if you're at school and you're out there playing on the playground and all of a sudden the sky was filled with thousands of angels talking to you and singing? What would you do? What would you do, Darby? You would go to teachers? They would probably see it too. Would y'all be surprised? Yeah, that would be pretty exciting and surprising. Then, just as suddenly, the sky went dark. Let's go to Bethlehem, cried the shepherds. Let's find out if this is true. Yes. Did you have a question? Oh, okay. The lights are bright, aren't they, up here? In the lamplit cave, they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby Jesus, and he was lying in the manger. From far away in the east, wise and learned men came riding. They came to the city of Jerusalem and began asking questions. We are following a bright new star, they explained. It is a sign that a king has been born. We have come to bring him gifts. Do you know where we can find him? The king in Jerusalem was Herod. He was only a servant of the emperor, but he liked his palaces and his power, and he demanded to see the wise men. I have asked the wise men in Jerusalem all about your king, he said. Long ago, God promised to send our people a king. The greatest king of all will be born in Bethlehem. Herod leaned a little bit closer. I want you to go find him, he said. Then come and tell me where he is. Do you think Herod was wanting to be nice to baby Jesus? Mm-mm. Yeah, that's right. The star led the way to a house in Bethlehem. They went inside and found Mary and her baby, and they gave him royal gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He was a little bit older when the wise man got there. He wasn't super small. He was a little bit older. That's a great question, Darby. It wasn't long before angels were warning of danger ahead. Hurry, an angel told the wise men in a dream. Herod wants to harm the baby Jesus. Go home by a different road. Hurry, an angel told Joseph in a dream. Herod wants to harm baby Jesus. Go to Egypt. You will not be safe while Herod is still alive. At long last, the little family returned to Nazareth. Mary and Joseph and the angels had kept Jesus safe. Now he would grow up to do the work for which he had been born, and those who learned to love and to follow him would have Christmas for always. So tomorrow when you're opening your gifts, I want you to remember, even though you're super excited about all the gifts you're going to be unwrapping, that Jesus was the best gift ever. All right? Okay, y'all did such a great job that at the end of service, I have some candy canes for y'all. So make sure Pastor Mitch is going to be at the door passing them out. Make sure you grab your candy cane before you go, and make sure you ask Mom if you can eat it before you open it, okay? All right.
Excellent job. Thank you so much. Give one more round of applause to our children. They're so sweet, so precious. The ushers are passing out candles for you all. I would just ask that if your child needs assistance, please make sure that you are keeping an eye on them. And we would very much like to keep this a tradition in our church each year. So we ask that at the end of service that you would return these candles to us. I want to just share just for a few moments something that the Lord placed on my heart. And I've titled this, Jesus, the Light of the World. Jesus, the Light of the World. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, you can follow along on the screen. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the light of the world. Imagine a world without light. Without light, there would be no life. Light is essential to the existence of life. Light is produced by energy. One could say that the source of light is power. Scripture states that Jesus is the light of the world and the source of life for all living things. That is to say that Jesus is the power source. He's the very source of life coursing through our veins. Scripture says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. There is no association between darkness and light. It is impossible to mix the two. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Anytime that light is introduced to darkness, the darkness is dispersed. Before Jesus came, the world was engulfed in darkness. The prophets had spoken of a day of liberation when the light would come to drive back the darkness and restore life to mankind. Even though this was just a glimmer of hope, it gave humanity something to look forward toward with anticipation. These words were a consolation for all of the suffering that they endured. He was in the world. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Think about this for a moment. The day that Jesus was born, the vast majority of the world continued with business as usual. There were a few shepherds who saw angels. There was one really old man and woman, 8 days later, after his birth, that prophesied, "This baby is the Messiah." There were a few wise men that showed up 2 years later with gifts, saying that a star appeared in the sky as a sign that this child was born as king. But the pain and the suffering continued. The oppression of the Roman Empire continued. Sickness and disease and death continued. Evil and lawlessness continued. Here was Jesus, the creator of the universe, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And the world didn't even recognize him. They didn't even know who he was. Fast forward 30 years. Jesus begins to perform miracles. Lepers are healed, blind see, lame walk, deaf hear, the dead are raised. Even the demon-possessed are liberated. Suddenly, a whisper begins to ripple throughout the surrounding towns and villages. People begin to share the good news of the miracles that they had seen and heard. It was a simple question. Could this be the Messiah? Is this the one of whom the prophets wrote? Is this the one who has come to save us? Soon the whispers grew louder and louder as people came out to see and hear him. They just wanted a glimpse of him. They just wanted to behold him. Their weary hearts wanted desperately to believe that a Savior had come to rescue them. These rumors and rumblings would erupt into violent shouts of praise one glorious Sunday as Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a colt. Hosanna! Hosanna, they cried out as their hearts burst forth in praise. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our deliverance has come. He has come to set us free. We are saved. Little did they know that in just a few short days, their shouts would be silenced by the deafening sound of a hammer beating against the head of three nails as they ripped through the flesh of his hands and his feet. This one, this deliverer in whom they had placed their hope, their hearts sank within them as the skies, in the heat of the day, suddenly became pitch black as the sun was hidden and the earth was violently shaken. The desperate wailing of his mother Mary cut through the silence, tearing at the conscience of all who heard. It served as a reminder that this man was innocent. He didn't deserve this. And yet, the one who was the light of the world was violently killed before their eyes. All hope was lost. Death had won. The darkness had extinguished even the faintest glimpse of hope. A sense of complete abandonment and despair began to sink in. Even Jesus, in his last words on the cross, had screamed out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Hope was lost. Darkness had won. The light of the world had been extinguished. Is that where the end, if that were the end of the story, imagine what the world would be like. What would your life be like without hope? Where would you be without Jesus? Yet many of us live in a constant state of despair. We have believed for liberation. We have believed for salvation. We have believed for healing. We have hoped for a life filled with blessing and victory. And yet every turn, we find ourselves confronted with pain and suffering and sickness. With every passing day and year, we become increasingly aware of the frailty of man. And evil seems to increase all around us. Time after time, it seems as though darkness is prevailing and the hope of salvation seems a little farther from reach. Just like that night when Jesus breathed his last breath, saying, "It is finished." Many of you have felt that God has abandoned you. You have felt like giving up. You have wondered, what is the point of fighting in a losing battle? Don't ever mistake the words of Jesus, "It is finished," as a sign of surrender. He wasn't giving up. He didn't abandon us. The death of Christ became the devil's worst nightmare. Just as darkness cannot extinguish light, so the death cannot overcome the source of life. In that moment when all hope was lost, all of heaven and earth paused in silence. It was a Selah. It was the sustain before the grand finale. When Jesus exhaled his final breath on the cross, Satan thought it was over. Little did he know that 3 days later, there would be an inhale as the light of the world would breathe in new life. The source of life, the source of power, rose with all power, crushing death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus, the light of the world, was raised victorious. He is our hope. All who place their trust in him have hope. But to as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, we have this hope as an anchor for our souls. Yet when we look around us, we find ourselves in a perplexing position. Jesus rose again, ascending into heaven, sent us the Holy Spirit, and told us he would return. Now, 2,000 years later, we're still waiting. Does the Selah, does the pause have you weary? Do not become weary in doing good. To be an absent in body is to be present with the Lord. There is a hope that awaits. Each of us, one day soon, he will return. But what about right now? We're called to be the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You may feel as though your light isn't that bright. You may feel as though you can't make a difference. Let me just tell you that you do make a difference. All across this world, there are millions of people who have chosen to let the light of Jesus shine in their hearts. And with every new light that shines, his light shines brighter. Can we lower the lights? And I want everybody to turn your candle on. Together, as the community life, we are shining his light brighter for all to see. He said, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all to me." Will you let the light of Jesus shine in your heart today? Will you choose to unite in community under the banner of hope as you place your trust in Jesus? Jesus said, to as many as believed, he gave power. His power is life, and his life is light. This light is our hope. He is our hope. Jesus is the light of the world. He is our hope. Will you share hope this year? Will you be kind to one another? Will you choose to love God and love one another? Will you walk in peace? Will you let His joy fill your heart and share His joy with everyone you meet? Every time we celebrate Jesus, we are lifting Him up. We are shining His light. Let us not only celebrate Him this Christmas season. Let every day be a celebration of His life within you. Christ in me. Christ in you. The hope of glory. It is because of Jesus that I have hope. It is because of Jesus that I know love and can love. It is because of Jesus that I have joy. It is because of Jesus that we find peace. Will you let Jesus into your life today? Will you choose Him? Will you place your trust in Him? There is a hope that we all await. He has come to give us hope and to offer eternal life to all who receive Him. Will you make room in your heart for Jesus today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just simply want to ask, would you allow yourself to hope again? Would you allow yourself to believe again? Would you allow yourself to make room in your heart for Jesus? If you would like to make room in your heart today for Jesus, and you would like to receive Him into your heart, to receive hope into your life, to receive love, joy, peace into your life. If you want Jesus in your life, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody in this room to pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, I place my hope in You. I believe that You came to earth, that You died on a cross, that You rose again, and that You're coming back soon. I ask that You would receive me as Your child. Come and make Your home in my heart. I give You my heart. And I receive You as my gift this Christmas. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a praise offering in this place? Praise team is coming at this time. We're going to sing a couple of more songs, and then we're going to close with a benediction. And we will be wrapping up to send you on your way to be with your family. We thank You so much for being here today. God is good. God is good. Let us sing together. We're going to sing O Holy Night, Mitch's favorite song.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our
Let's give him praise in this place. He is worthy. You are worthy, oh God. You are worthy to receive all honor, all glory. Would you raise your hands to receive the benediction this evening? May Jesus, the light of the world, fill your hearts with love and joy and peace. And may you hold fast to the hope that Jesus has come and that he is coming again. May you find reasons every day to celebrate Him. May you find a renewed spark of hope as you live out your faith together, loving God and loving one another in His community. May His life bring you into community, and may His light shine brighter as together we celebrate His life, His birth, and His soon return. Be blessed and go in the peace of God. Amen and amen. We wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for being here with us this evening.